Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you back to New World Next Week, NewWorldNextWeek.com being the site. And of course, I forgot to mention recently, please use hashtag New World Next Week on Twitter to submit story ideas, because of course, we can't know everything that goes on, and the way the alternative independent media works is we all share information. James, this is going to be a little, we're putting the world in New World Next Week. This week, as we'll begin with a strange story as, again, ghosts continue to rise. This comes from Al Jazeera, and of course, in every case, we'll always include all the links for you to read and do your own research, and then spread the word yourself. Swiss study shows polonium found in Arafat's bones. Swiss scientists confirm polonium poisoning caused Arafat's death. Swiss scientists who conducted tests on samples taken from Yasser Arafat's body have found at least 18 times the normal level of radioactive polonium in his remains. The scientists said that they were confident up to an 83% level that the late Palestinian leader was poisoned with it, which they said moderately supports polonium as the cause of his death. A 108-page report by the University Center of Legal Medicine in Lausanne, which was obtained exclusively by Al Jazeera, found unnaturally high levels of polonium in Arafat's ribs and pelvis and in soil stained with his decaying organs. The Swiss scientists, along with French and Russian teams, obtained the samples last November after his body was exhumed from a mausoleum in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. We will, of course, include the link to the PDF of that 108-page report. James, what does this say that we find this out now?
Well, a big medical mystery here. Who could possibly have done it? Polonium-210, an element that could only be produced in a nuclear reactor, so it has to come from a nuclear-equipped country. And we have it occurring in the midst of the Second Intifada, just a year after Deputy Prime Minister Ehud Olmert had declared killing Arafat was definitely on the table. It was definitely an option. That's a direct quote. And in the event of his death, we had Prime Minister Sharon said that this was a turning point in Middle Eastern history. Who could possibly have done this? I can't imagine. Oh, yes, that's right, Israel. So what we are doing right now is just basically confirming something that's been a conspiracy theory for years and years. Basically, the Palestinians have known for years and years that Arafat was killed, and this is just the scientific proof of it. They're trying to couch it in a lot of the Western media as, oh, this Swiss report is indicating that it may perhaps possibly indicate that he could have potentially been poisoned. If you actually look into it, there's very little doubt about it. 18 times natural levels of polonium-210 discovered in his bones after his mystery illness. So there's really no mystery here. He was poisoned. All signs point to Israel, and I think they would be the main suspects unless otherwise indicated. But France is undergoing a criminal investigation right now because he did end up dying in France. So we'll see what results of that and if they actually ever do try to prosecute anyone as a result of this.
And I would say, too, that Russians probably know a little bit about this as well. I wasn't really thinking about it until we were just talking about it with the poisonings there in Russia and also Yugoslavia. I'm pulling it off the top of my head now, James. This was the spy that was poisoned with...
Well, I know Litvinenko was poisoned with polonium-210, supposedly poisoned in London by ex-KGB. But again, that's another mystery in and of itself.
So... speaking of killing people, James, will include a bizarre related link in a way, just in a way I think we'd like to put this on the record. From BusinessInsider.com, Obama reportedly told his aides he's really good at killing people, according to the new book Double Down, in which journalists Mark Halperin and John Haleman chronicle the 2012 presidential election. President Barack Obama told his aides that he's, quote, really good at killing people, end quote, while discussing drone strikes. James, do you have any comment on that quickly?
Well, I think he said it all for himself, didn't he? This is the Peace Prize laureate, so there you go. He's good at one thing, at least.
Good grief. Okay, let's, on a slightly more positive note, we'll turn to our second story this week, and again, casting an eye around the globe. India launches its first mission to Mars, and I do have this posted on my own cyberspacewar.com, and we grab this via Space Daily. The successful launch of India's Mars Orbiter mission is a major step forward for an advancing Asian space power. The global space community has applauded the flight, which will help the world to better understand the red planet. It's thus surprising to see a high tide of denouncements and misjudgments for this mission circulating in the media and in online forums. Weeks ago, we saw naive criticisms of China's upcoming moon rover by Chinese scientists in the Hong Kong press, and now India is in the line of fire with even more dubious comments. So some of this seems to stem from surprise. India has operated one of the world's most advanced space programs for decades, but has largely escaped the limelight. This has partially been due to some bad communication strategies, but it's also because the program has been focused on utilitarian goals rather than headline-grabbing feats in space. It's interesting to note, India operates its own space launch vehicle and builds its own satellite. So the Space Daily article continues and goes through some of the criticisms surrounding this, but it ends just by claiming good science, national pride, technical advances, inspiration for the world. India's first step towards Mars is worth the price. James?
Well, there you go. The space club keeps getting smaller and smaller, and it's interesting to watch as this race develops and as some of India's rivals start to try to smear the Indian space program. It's an interesting development, and one wonders if there's a Bollywood equivalent of Stanley Kubrick waiting in the wings to fake India's first landing footage. But, well, we'll see how all that develops in the future. But an interesting story. But perhaps I'm going to throw in a related that's a little bit tangential, but sort of related to the idea of the technological race that's happening between countries in various fields, and one that might be of a little bit more pressing concern for humanity is BBC and others now coming out talking about Saudi Arabia, and that they're on the brink of nuclear weapons capabilities, that they have in fact ordered nuclear weapons from Pakistan that have been built for them, and they're ready to take delivery if and when they want to. And so this is painted in light of the rivalry with Iran. If Iran gets the bomb, Saudi Arabia will already have it. So this is another type of technological race that's going on, and it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone, I think, who's been watching the development of nuclear proliferation, and I've done a lot of work on that in the past, so I hope you'll take a look at that. But just another sign of the ways that that countries are racing against each other, and not in a good way.
The one good way they are racing against each other, James, as I was kind of digging around and looking for other geopolitical news concerning India, they are right about now hosting the World Chess Championships. So I like that even as just some sort of metaphor in a way. If we could just keep it to the board game and not out there killing everyone, it'd probably be a hell of a lot better off, James.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess so. Well, we'll see how that that develops. We'll have a hard-hitting report on the chess championship next week.
I'll have to start a different website for that, maybe. Speaking of the nuclear race, our third and final story this week concerns the most pressing matter, and it's being called that pretty much from all corners of the world. Meanwhile, we're all still paying attention to other random political things. However, the situation in Fukushima continues to deteriorate, and that is an understatement. And we'll take it from James, your FukushimaUpdate.com. Fukushima trial run begins dangerous reactor 4 cleanup. Cleanup workers begin recommended test run before embarking on humankind's most dangerous moment since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Preparations to begin the potentially catastrophic decommissioning of the crippled reactor 4 at the Fukushima nuclear plant will begin this week with a test run. The test, which could push back the beginning stages of actual fuel rod removal by 2 weeks, includes a, quote, protective fuel cask, end quote, into and out of the number 4 storage pool with a crane before attempts are made to remove the spent fuel rods, the Japan Times reports. Japan's Nuclear Regulation Authority gave the final go-ahead last week for TEPCO to begin the decommissioning process, the entirety of which watchdogs say could take decades. We'll also include a couple of other updates, James, on FukushimaUpdate.com. TEPCO feeling the heat over fuel removal, and also a little bit of video animation explaining how this whole god-awful process is supposed to take place. James?
Well, we'll definitely be keeping our eye on this. This is obviously the next major step in Fukushima and what's going on there. So Brock West and I are going to be keeping our eyes on that for FukushimaUpdate.com. I hope people will be checking for regular updates if and when and as this gets underway later this month. Important to note that this is a process that is extremely, I mean, a lot of people are extremely concerned about what's happening, but nothing has happened yet in terms of the removal of this this fuel, and so we shouldn't be panicking quite yet. And there, it should be noted that there are dissenters on the other side. So we have people like Arne Gundersen and Helen Caldicott and people like that who are warning that this could have extremely disastrous effects if any of these rods come into contact during the removal process, or if any of them break during the removal process. We have others, even anti-nuclear campaigners like Thomas Cochran of the Natural Resource Defense Council, and certain other scientists that are also linked up in one of the comments on one of these stories on Fukushima Update, that are saying that this is not as big a concern as it's being made out to be, that that there is not a big risk of overheating, that there's good visibility on the fuel assemblies, etc. So again, I'm going to just report and leave it up to you guys out there to decide as you will, but it is, I think, a very interesting process that we're about to get underway here, and one that, unfortunately, as with every other operation at the plant, brings with it a certain degree of risk, and I think we should definitely have our eyes on that. And it's an interesting process to watch, so I will put the link in there for that video so that people can go and take a look at what they plan on doing, but I think the video simplifies the process to a great degree, because as Arne Gundersen said, generally this would be done with computers with precise precision, lifting the assemblies out of the pool, but in this case the assemblies have shifted when the building shook, and now it's like trying to remove cigarettes from a crumpled cigarette pack. So this is not going to be an easy process, and we're definitely going to have to keep a close eye on it, which is exactly what we're doing at FukushimaUpdate.com. For people who don't know, I have a Fukushima website. I see people still asking me about Fukushima and things. Everything Fukushima related is at FukushimaUpdate.com. Please go there for the latest news and information. Once again, that site is now being updated on pretty much a daily basis by myself and Brock West of APPerspective.net.
And now that we've mentioned him, yeah, definitely a hat tip to our fifth Beatle, Brock West. And I appreciate his work on the Media Monarchy Kingdom. He helps me post to Food World Order and Cyberspace War as well. James, this was our topic on last night's Ground Zero episode, my day job on the national talk show that I work for. We had a nuclear physicist on, and we talked about this cleanup process coming. So I'll include a link to that show. In closing, I just want to mention a couple of things, James. Back here in the States, since we did our sort of world news episode of New World Next Week, there, of course, were elections here in the States yesterday. Washington State rejected labeling GMO foods, unfortunately. And I find it really interesting that there are almost a dozen counties in Colorado voting to secede and to create a new 51st state of North Colorado. So all that kind of news, and so very, very much more, you can find on my very busy Twitter feed at Media Monarchy. I mentioned hashtag New World Next Week, and the other bit of deprogramming I should make a note for, James, because we haven't mentioned it. The feed has not been working since Blip took us out of commission. I am working on that behind the scenes, getting a new World Next Week feed for folks. But of course, in the meantime, they can still get it from my feed, from your feed, and on YouTube and other platforms as well, James.
That's it. Well, let's leave it there for today. James Evan Pilato, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, CyberspaceWar.com, ChessChampionship.com. Oh, wait, no, not yet. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you again for three stories. Looking forward to next week.
Thank you so much. Take care.